As many of you know, Ray and I are having a baby in just 3 months. So to prepare, there's these exercises specifically designed for pregnancy. And part of the exercise is to do these really weird breaths. It's almost more like groans, as you can tell, that go something like this. Now, some of you might be realizing or wondering at this point, Jordan, you do realize that you're not the one that has the baby, right? Yes, I do realize that. But we also realize quickly that it works best if we do those exercises together. You know why? Amen. Because it feels really strange when you gotta do them by yourself. It's what we found anyway. If one of us is doing that breathing groan exercise, the other laughs and then they cut it short, and it's just hard to do because you feel so silly. Kind of like how I'm starting to feel as I'm trying to do it up in front of you all right now. In fact, wouldn't it feel much better if we all did it one time together? Let's try it. Okay, so ready? You got to start with a big breath in and out. Nice. You're all ready to have a child. Oh my goodness. But doesn't that feel so much better if we can all do it in unison? There's something about sharing in the process that brings a sense of support and relief. Or maybe now you're just so weirded out at this sermon that you're thinking, how do I get out of here? Well, as I hear Paul's words from Romans today, I feel a similar sentiment. In this passage, Paul has depicted creation almost as if it's its own character in the grand story of Scripture. A character who, through no fault of its own, has been subjected to sufferings and is in what he calls the bondage to decay as a consequence of human sin. But creation doesn't have to experience it alone, because in verse 23, it's declared that creation groans along with those who share in God's Spirit. And we don't realize this so much in our English version we have now, but the original language words used go even further to declare that this is a shared experience, inherently a collective act, a common shared struggle with creation, even with a sense of sympathy tagged to it. Paul sees a world in which God's beloved children are invited by the Holy Spirit to be in solidarity with the suffering creation. And folks, if that's not a prophetic and relevant word for today, I don't know what is. At this point, we're past a real debate as far as where we are in terms of ecological crisis. It's been over a decade where over 97% consensus among experts agree. The world is warming quickly. It's primarily due to human activity, and it has already set about a crisis of cause and effect. In the last century, we humans have been busy churning out carbon into the atmosphere, polluting waters, lands, and skies, depleting limited resources, and eliminating other species in the process, all at an unprecedented rate. We, as a species, have utilized our intelligence, our strength, our reason, and our unquenchable desire for more to exploit God's precious gifts for our short-sighted purposes. This is not the stewardship we were called to in Genesis 1. This is not being the tillers and keepers of God's good garden. This is degradation in the name of production. This is calamity in the name of comfort. It is our human state of sinfulness played out on a global environmental scale. A long view picture of what happens due to humanity's fall way back in Genesis 3. And if Paul only knew the extent to which his own words in Romans would be coming true today, lest we forget that we humans are a part of creation, an interconnected piece of the whole. So everything we've subjected this earth to, we have also done to ourselves. The tally of human life lost to the effects of climate change climbs higher by the day. With every quickening and increasing flood, drought, and storm to the point where these disasters are no longer natural, and maybe we got to stop calling them as such. Creation suffers presently, including us. So what do we do? As heavy a reality as this is, we cannot fall into despair. Because in despair, there is silence. And silence is waving the white flag and giving up on a world that God will never forsake. So we can't despair, but neither can we deny. We cannot shield our eyes and fill our lives with the idle chit-chat of denial, seeking out, oh, that one source I found online that tries to prove things otherwise. If we keep going on, generation after generation, shrugging shoulders and inviting the next generation to handle it, guess what? Pretty soon there might not be a next generation. But friends, there is a third way. A more excellent way that neither despairs nor denies. A way that is hearing the groans of creation and joins them. Romans 8 tells us creation is groaning in eager anticipation. Another translation says that creation just cannot wait until the children of God are finally revealed. Why? Because it's holding on to hope. Hope that one day it's going to get freed from that bondage to decay. Hope that one day it will get to experience God's glory to the fullest. Hope that one day God's cosmic work of redemption will be realized. And in that state of hope, we are invited to join creation and start to groan. Now let it be known that this groan is no mere literal grunt or noise. This is the sound of hope embodied into action. This groan is the sound of folks led by the Holy Spirit to say no more to the patterns and systems of human sin that go about degrading and exploiting in the name of our comfort and our profit. This groan is the sound of those willing to make some personal changes in their lives to help remove from the harmful habits. This groan is the sound of courageous voices challenging all those seated in positions of power to make this a priority now. Creation's been groaning in the hope of redemption, and too often we have failed to hear it, so it's high time we joined it now. We join in the groan because we believe, not because we believe that we know everything, not because we think we can fix all the issues and reset the world on our own accord, by no means. We join in the groan because the hope of redemption is rooted in something radically beyond our own strength and effort. We join because the very author of creation, the crafter of all things bright and beautiful, is the same one who chose to join the groan on our behalf, who chose solidarity with those who suffer. Sometimes we have short attention spans, so lest we forget, a week and a half ago, we remember Jesus Christ, who gave body and blood, executed on a tree in the name of redemption. And then, just a week ago, we celebrated. We celebrated hard, because we joined the groan of creation that God gave us the brightest glimpse of hope that this world has ever witnessed. Because with a resurrected body, Jesus has revealed to us the sneak preview of the world to come. A world full of God's redemption realized, creation restored, God and God's children brought together again. The risen Christ is our testimony to that future hope. Our proof that death and bondage to decay will not have the final word. And it is in the spirit of that hope that we join the present groans of creation, knowing we're not going to pull it off on our own, but we trust in a God that empowers us to do our little parts to participate in what's coming. What's coming is the very glory we've glimpsed in Christ and will one day experience in full. And so I want to share with you one example of how one person shared in creation's groan. The story takes place in Vietnam. Vietnam is a country lush with dense and mature forests, or at least it used to be. It's been determined that preserving some of these old growth forests is one of the very keys to slowing climate change, the way they're incredibly effective at neutralizing carbon in ways that newly planted forests take centuries to catch up. But in the last several decades, Vietnam's forests have been sharply compromised. 8,000 square miles burned away by our military in an effort to expose the Viet Cong. Unsustainable agriculture practices, illegal deforesting for lumber and land, and all of it has left a fraction of what was originally there. Well, this sad reality did not sit right with Professor Vu Thi Hien. She gave up her impressive career in agricultural education and devoted herself instead to these forests. She came to notice in research that the very best conservation method for these forests was not going to be flying in the experts, bringing people in from Europe and the United States to try to teach them what to do. She found that the best people for the job were the local tribe leaders that still lived in those forests. So Professor Hien, she organized and empowered these groups of local women who worked together with their communities to start preserving their forests they called home. And then she turned and partnered with the UN to honor their efforts of protection and preservation, to provide them funding and resources for what they're doing. And in that process, it created this cycle of ecological growth and economic stability for everyone. Since their efforts started about 20 years ago, there has been a significant decrease in deforestation. And the villagers have even been quoted saying that they are seeing lots of plants and animals that had disappeared that are now returning again. To that, Professor Hien had to say, animals are very wise. They return because they know they're safe. And that makes me feel warm and happy inside. She didn't have to change the whole world on her own. She didn't have to do a miracle. She had to notice the problem, make a sacrifice, make a change, and discern a solution to empower other people. She heard the groan of creation and joined in her small part, just as we are invited to do. And that is one of the beautiful things about this invitation, as hard as it is, as daunting as it feels, is that we can be in this together. The more we unite in the hope of restoration, the more our small efforts meld, we can create lasting and meaningful change for the good of God's beloved world. The more of us joining the groan, the stronger the chorus. And if you wonder about a good next step to take, wonder no further. Today, you can swing by Westminster Room and learn about our creation care efforts being put forth by our wider denomination right after worship here. And if you're so inclined, you'll have the opportunity to lend your voice, to give your support to those efforts if you so choose. And so I encourage you to at least attend today and be on the lookout for other opportunities by way of our creation care team, by way of our community here that does so much. And in the meantime, let us not fall into despair or tempt our way into denial, but let us hold to the truth shared with us. The sufferings of this present time are not even worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed, the glory we've glimpsed in Jesus Christ. So today, may we join with creation in the groaning for the hope of redemption. Amen.